Isabella Pulido was raised in Southern California and grew up with a menagerie of pets. She knew from an early age that she wanted to be a veterinarian. To that end, she earned her Bachelor of Science degree in Animal Science with a minor in Spanish from California Polytechnic State University, San Luis Obispo. She was accepted in the University of California, Davis School of Veterinary Medicine, where she completed her first semester in the fall of 2023. Please enjoy this first installment of interviews with student members of CIVT as Izzy and I discuss her childhood, undergraduate education, veterinary school application process, introduction to CIVT and integrative medicine, and future career goals. Izzy, thanks so much for taking the time on your break to talk.
Hi, Neil. Thanks so much for having me. It's an honor to be here.
I'm really happy to speak with you. So where did you grow up?
I grew up in Southern California, so Escondido, basically San Diego area, and then have kind of migrated up through California through my educational journey.
Did you have a lot of pets growing up?
I did. I had almost every animal under the sun, I guess, like guinea pigs, hamsters, snakes, geckos, birds, dogs, cats, fish, frogs, hermit crabs.
Oh my gosh. When did you think that you wanted to be a veterinarian?
So pretty much, I've never seen myself doing anything else, which is really unique because a lot of the times people kind of bounce from different career paths, and it's been pretty straight for me. I've always known I wanted to do this and the doors kept opening. So I consider myself super fortunate just to have had that experience.
When did you start getting experience in a vet clinic?
I was actually kind of late to start all of that. I started during my first year of undergrad when I was at Cal Poly, and that was during COVID. We got sent home. And so I thought, hey, I need to start getting some experience, and a really awesome clinic took me in, and it was kind of all history from there. And I've been there for the past 4 years.
What was it like working in a clinic, you know, like your first experience during COVID?
It was interesting. We didn't have the traditional client interaction. We did everything curbside and then brought the pet back and to the treatment center and kind of worked from there. So it was interesting about a year and a half, 2 years later, when my first traditional clinic experience was having the client in the room and things like that. So it was awesome. I liked it. Pros and cons to both.
Were you part of the staff that would bring pets in and out of the clinic then?
Yes. Yeah. I'd get the history, bring the pet in, and then relay that to the doctor.
Actually, that was probably kind of useful, huh?
Definitely was. It helped me with my communication skills and just helped me kind of build those relationships with the doctor. And so I really enjoyed it. I think it was a good ground for learning.
I bet it was kind of nice actually on the other side too, to be inside with the doctor and the staff and to be able to talk about cases actually without the owner there.
Totally. They taught me so much. I was really fortunate to find such an incredible team to work with as my first experience. I know a lot of people don't really get awesome mentorship off the back. They kind of just start as a kennel assistant, but I was in there. They took me in as part of the family and just kind of let me start rocking and rolling, taught me everything. So it was awesome. Definitely got a lot more hands-on experience than some of my friends that I've been able to talk with.
Was there any point where there was a shutdown order, or were you guys able to work all the time?
We were able to work through everything. Yeah, we never shut down. I think maybe for one day with the COVID scare with staff, but other than that, we were rolling full-time through the whole pandemic.
And is that the practice you're still involved with?
Yes, it is.
Okay. So how many doctors are there?
There's about 4 or 5 doctors that rotate through. We have one main doctor that's the practice owner. So it's private practice, really awesome to experience that and not be in a corporate setting at this point and learn from all these incredible doctors because they all have such diverse backgrounds. So it's been really awesome being there.
That's nice. So when it came time to pick undergrad school, what sort of considerations did you have thinking that you were going to want to go to vet school?
Yeah. So I had originally thought, okay, I'm going to apply to UC Davis because of the vet school. And there's always that saying that if you go there for undergrad, maybe you have a slightly better chance to get in. That was my main question when I went to tour the school. And they said, doesn't really matter. Just do well in undergrad, get experience, get good recommendations. So when it came to that point, I looked at SLO and I said, hey, this is pretty much Davis, but with beach and mountains, and chose that because it just fit my personality a little bit better.
And what did you choose to major in?
I did animal science, and then I took up a Spanish minor.
What was the idea of the minor?
I had done Spanish throughout high school and really enjoyed it. And I just wanted to be able to communicate with a whole nother population of clients and just be able to do that because I do like going into shelter med and kind of just being able to be accessible to more people. So pursued that in undergrad and then was able to continue that through vet school.
That's really nice. So why animal science?
Animal science, just because Cal Poly has a really incredible program. So we have these things called enterprises where they actually let you work with the animals, and it's a pass-fail kind of course. You're in there for 10 weeks. You're working alongside veterinarians in a classroom of about 12 to 15 people. So you get a ton of really awesome hands-on learning, and that can totally translate to vet school and the vet school application.
Oh, that's kind of nice. So you were getting livestock experience then as well?
Yeah, I actually was able to do a full year. I kind of took two different approaches to livestock med. So I had a year where I was one of the student managers for the vet clinic, and we were on call for all of the animals at Cal Poly, which is about 10,000, and counting like poultry and swine and everything. So we would go out to animal emergencies at the dairy, at the equine unit, at the swine unit. So we got to experience that. And then when I was in my fourth year at Cal Poly, I actually worked alongside one of our large animal vets. She's an internist, and I was her tech pretty much for 6 months. And we got to do a lot of DA surgeries and just work a lot with dairy cattle. So that was
Did you enjoy
fun.
That?
Yeah, I thought it was pretty fun. I've liked the idea of being outside and just kind of roaming around and doing all the rough and tumbly kind of side of vet med. So it was fun to experience for sure.
So how many different veterinarians would you be exposed to through that were employed by the school?
We had, I want to say at least 6 or 7, maybe even 8, a ton of them. And most of them were Davis grads, but you did get an array of different backgrounds, which was also super fun to work under.
And were they doing livestock work or lab animal or a combination?
Yeah. So we had, I want to say probably 3 primary livestock / equine vets, 2 small animal vets, and then 1 marine mammal kind of vet. So it was pretty awesome to work with all of them.
Oh, that's kind of cool. And so you're involved with emergencies as well then?
Yeah. So we would just kind of be on call, and we lived at the vet clinic. They had a little trailer behind the campus vet clinic. So if there was an emergency at midnight or something like that, we'd be on call and then out in the little van and run into the unit to help out.
Does that, start a spark for some of the students? Like maybe this is something I want to do as far as large animal or don't want to do?
I think it totally did. It was a good way to have everyone experience what it was like to really be on call and do large animal work, because at Cal Poly, since there's not a vet school attached, we get to do it as undergrads. And so that's pretty unique. And I think that was a really big decision maker for a lot of students. And a lot of the classes are held at the vet clinic, so those students get to come on call with us if it's during normal hours, if they're taking the certain enterprise that correlates to that type of species that we're working with.
Gotcha. So did that experience satisfy what you needed for your vet school application? Walk me through sort of what you needed to do in order to apply to school.
Yeah. So I had heard before applying that they really want a diverse amount of experience. So I had a good amount of small animal experience. So when I was back at Cal Poly after COVID, I made sure to get large animal experience and do that. So they take into account your animal experience, your vet experience, so working under a veterinarian, and then your GPA, letters of recommendation. And we were also the last year that required the GRE, which is basically an entrance exam, kind of a standardized test that scores you and compares you to your peers, and just kind of another criteria for acceptance into the vet school.
So from your time on, that GRE has just fallen off the requirements?
Pretty much. It started dwindling down, and Davis took it off the requirements this application cycle. So I'm not sure if any other schools require it, but I know Davis was one of the few that did at the time that I was applying.
How long were you off school for COVID?
So I was taking classes actually in my manager's office at the vet clinic I was working at. Mm-hmm. So we got sent home during my first year of undergrad in March, and I didn't return to that campus until the beginning of my third year. So about a year and a half.
Yeah. Okay. How did you feel about doing things remotely?
It was interesting. Definitely. I was super fortunate to have that connection at the vet clinic back home, because if I hadn't, I wouldn't have been able to get any hands-on experience during that time. I remember talking to different people and just saying, hey, how is the class? Like, how are the classes online? And they were pretty much just doing Zoom classes from their bedroom, whereas I was super fortunate to be able to be in a clinic. So in the breaks between classes, I was able to help with just basic clinic tasks and help the doctors and work in there. So definitely not as bad as it could have been. I was super fortunate during that time.
Yeah, kind of nice that you weren't just stuck at home.
Definitely.
So of your fellow animal science majors, were what kind of percentage were interested in vet school and what were the others going to do?
Yeah. So in the beginning, I think it started out with almost everyone in animal science thinking that they wanted to go to vet school. And then as the years kind of went on and organic chemistry came along and other prerequisites, the numbers started to dwindle out and people either transferred to ag business or went into vet tech school stuff and just kind of found different paths. And Cal Poly did a really great job of showing people that you do not have to be a vet. Like, that's not the only thing that animal science leads to. So I would say that by the end, maybe about 10%, 15% actually went on to do the application cycle. And then a little bit less than that ended up getting into a vet school.
Did they help you with expectations as far as the application and what the industry was like, what you could expect in the way of, you know, salary, that sort of thing?
Yeah. So I was very, very lucky to have really awesome mentors during undergrad and had actually been sat down by multiple vets and they kind of said, this is what you're getting into. You know, it's not easy. It's not just kittens and puppies and baby horses. And, you know, you need to learn that this is a really demanding profession and it takes a lot to get there. And I remember one conversation, my mentor just said, you know, A's get you into vet school. You have to protect your GPA like a tiger. And so the grind was definitely real. And they did an awesome job at showing us what the profession looked like without scaring us away. And they said, if you want this bad enough, you will make it. But just don't think it's going to be an easy ride.
Yeah. So any of your mentors discouraging about veterinary medicine, or was it generally approach with caution?
I think it was more approach with caution. They definitely didn't deter you. They kind of knew you. They knew me on a personal level and knew that I was very stubborn and very determined to make it work. So it was pretty much going to happen no matter what. So they just made sure I knew what I was getting into and were very supportive and encouraged me along the way. So very lucky for that.
That's good. And I think that's a good point you made, that, you know, having a relationship with someone you ask that question of is a lot different than if someone approached me on the street and said, hey, my kid's thinking about veterinary medicine. What do you think?
Definitely.
You know, so did Cal Poly, did they help you with the financial literacy part, or was that something you really didn't discuss till you got to UC Davis? How'd that work?
So our mentors, we didn't necessarily have a class on, hey, vet school's expensive, make sure you know what you're getting into. But I was able to chat with my mentors about that aspect because I had always heard how expensive it was. And so I was well prepared for that kind of sticker shock, I guess. It wasn't as bad for me. And then in vet school, they've done a really phenomenal job of showing us what it's going to take and how we can get support through that.
Is it appropriate timing for them to introduce that once you're there? Or, I mean, are there still changes you can make to your loan process and that sort of thing? Or
yes.
Tell me about that.
Totally. So we had 2 weeks of prologue, which was pretty much an intro course to vet school where they sat us down before anything regarding loans and payments were due. And they walked us through, this is how much it's going to cost for your first year all the way through your fourth year. Here are your options. Here's the difference between student loans and just regular loans. Here's what you need to know, like borrow as little as you can. So they did a really great job of preparing us and then making sure that we had the resources we needed to get financial aid for school.
Oh, that's great. All right. So I should back up a little bit. So UC Davis, did you consider any other schools in the application process?
I had always kind of known I wanted to go to Davis just because it was in California and they have a phenomenal reputation, but that definitely wasn't the deciding factor. It was the fact that we could get in-state tuition. I had known a lot of vets that had gone through Davis, especially through undergrad. A lot of those professors were Davis grads. So I'd heard great things about that school and I liked the area because it was similar. It was a small college town, similar to Cal Poly SLO area. But just a little bit different. So definitely felt at home while exploring different vet school options.
So that you, during your application process, it was UC Davis or nothing then?
I did apply. Yeah. So I did apply to upwards a little over 10 schools.
Ah, okay.
And I did have some options, which I was very lucky to be able to choose where I went. But as soon as I got into Davis, I had I just kind of declined the other schools and said, nope, this is where I'm going to go. Yes, definitely. It was Davis, but very lucky to have other options if that hadn't worked out.
What other schools did you consider?
I had considered Western, and then I'd also considered Lincoln Memorial in Tennessee, just because I thought that area was really pretty. And I did consider going abroad to Glasgow. I do have some family over there, so that would have been kind of interesting to experience that school from over there. But yeah, so that was kind of the application cycle for me.
And what, so you submit an online application now, right? That's the process. And then what happens after that?
Yeah, so we submit an online application. It opens in January of the upcoming year. So it opened for January in January of our third year and then closed September of our fourth year. So it was about a 9-month window that we could fill in the application. So input your GPA and input your letters of rec and experience. And then after you submit in September, you have about a month and a half before you start hearing back from certain schools. And they'll tell you, some of them will tell you if you get an interview or not. Other schools will tell you just if you've been accepted or declined. So that kind of process runs up through February, I want to say, and then you have to commit by mid-March.
And so some schools would not have an interview process at all.
Yeah. So I know, I thought that was kind of a crazy thing because you don't really know a lot about, you only know someone from their academic side by looking at them on paper. So I really appreciated the schools that did interview because I really enjoy talking to people and wanting to make sure that that school would be a good fit for me as well and not just a one-sided decision, because I feel like that's a really important thing to consider when you're going to commit financially to a school for 4 years.
Oh, yeah. So did you interview for Davis?
Yes, I did. Yeah, they had a really fun interview process. And I think it was the most, it was definitely the longest interview. I think it was 100 minutes and 10 different questions with different scenarios. And you got to talk to someone on the other side. It wasn't just a AI kind of proctored interview. It was live people. So that was pretty fun.
Were they faculty members, practitioners, a mix?
Yeah, so a mix of kind of all of the above. And it's been fun to see them as our lecturers or see them in the clinics and remember that, hey, a year ago, we were talking to you about trying to get into this school. So full circle.
When did you, you're a student member of CIVT now. So when did you meet Dr. Lilly?
Yeah, so I actually had the pleasure of meeting her during my fourth year of undergrad. She had come in and talked to all of us about her ADF program with Dr. Nolan. So Dr. Nolan was the instructor of the course at the time, and I was one of the student assistants. So I was helping the undergrads through that course, and it was a companion animal science course. And Dr. Lilly came in and gave her awesome presentation, and we were able to try out her software and really learn about the benefits of nutrition for pets and not just rely on getting them that kibble food. And I've been able to keep in contact with her through my first year at Davis, which has been really fun to just bounce ideas off her and kind of see her in her opinion on different things and learn from her, because it's such a interesting kind of side of veterinary medicine. And I really want to be able to explore that. So having her as a resource has been super awesome.
Oh yeah. That's really good. Did you enjoy playing with the animal diet formulator then?
Yeah, it was awesome. And definitely got to experiment with it and make my dog a diet. And we did another tutorial at the beginning of this year and kind of ran through it again and just explored the different options. And now I have a little bit more nutritional knowledge. We took a course in the vet school. And so it was fun to apply that knowledge and really experiment a little bit more with the software and have a little bit more comprehensive knowledge going into it.
Nice. All right. So let's talk about school. How many are in your class?
Yeah. So we have a class of 150.
What's the breakdown, male, female?
I would say predominantly female, probably 80-85% female, and then the rest male.
So you're just finishing up your first semester. Tell me about the classes you took this time.
Yeah. So we did that 2-week prologue introduction, and then we were put into basic fundamentals for 8 weeks. And that was just a recap of basically all of the science classes that you should have taken during undergrad and things to set you up for vet school. That was pass fail, which was really nice just to be able to solidify study habits and understand the pace and kind of get acclimated to the new school and just the rapid amount of information that we were expected to absorb. And after that finished, we jumped into our heme, lymph, and coag block. So analyzing blood work and some immunology, different things like that, which was really interesting. And it's been fun to be back in the clinic over these past couple of days and be able to actually look at blood work and know a little bit more, look at blood smears and be able to get more information than just giving it to the doctor and saying, here you go, it's ready for you. But that was pretty awesome. And then our last block we just finished was a mixture of toxicology, pharmacology, and nutrition. So that's where the nutrition came in.
How long are the blocks?
So our first basics block was 8 weeks, and then our heme, lymph, and coag was 4 weeks. And then our pharmacology, toxicology, and nutrition was roughly 4.5, 5 weeks. We had Thanksgiving break in there where we had a couple days off, but it rounded out to about 4.5 weeks.
How much are they setting you up as far as life skills? And, you know, you talked a little bit about studying, but how about what anything with wellness? Tell me about that.
Yeah. So they really did an awesome job in the beginning of the start of the semester. We had that 2 weeks of not any heavy academic information. It was more of here's how to take care of yourself. Here's your group. Here's the kind of down and dirty you need to know about vet school, the finances. They actually took us all to a high ropes course and let us do a bunch of obstacles with our team and just get comfortable with everyone. And they also emphasized the importance of knowing this material to actually understand it and know it for our patients and not just knowing it to get a grade. Because I feel like a lot of the students that come into vet school were so used to just grinding and making sure that they had top scores in their classes so that they could get to the next level. Whereas here it's more of, there's more of a focus on actually understanding the material and committing it to memory and not just brain dumping it onto a test and then forgetting about it. So they've done a good job at kind of taking down the pressure and making sure people take care of themselves. They block off time in our schedule before exams, usually the afternoon before, just for us to study so that we're not in class or in lecture until 5 p.m. and then go home and cram for an exam. So they definitely space it out and are very focused on our wellness and mental health and have seminars every couple of weeks on different ways to help yourself and stay active and just support that side of physical health as well as your mentality and academics.
That's really nice. So This is at the point where I should inject that you maintain a website and which included is a blog, and you've kind of kept track of your journey week by week. So it's pretty interesting reading for someone like me that's been out of school for a bit to see how things work now and what you're going through. So it's a really good resource. I'll put that in the show notes.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been fun. I made it during the summer before going into vet school, and I put a lot of undergrad notes and resources in there, and then a little tutorial on how to apply to vet school, how to do the VEMCAS application. And the blog's been fun to just keep up for myself because I want to be able to look back and see kind of a week by week recap of vet school. So kind of a selfish reason to do it, but it also helps keep family involved and keep everyone connected, which has been super fun.
I think it'll be nice, you know, just looking at it, I think, unfortunately, I can remember very few details about my first year of school. So if I had something like that to look back on, it would have been really nice. Yeah. So what are you doing for your wellness? What do you do for physical health?
Yeah, so I'm really into athletics. I have done triathlons. I competed with Cal Poly's triathlon team during my time at undergrad and did their swim club and actually did my first half Ironman last year right after I graduated. So I graduated a quarter early and celebrated by doing the Oceanside half Ironman with my dad, and then have continued to keep that up during vet school and also have a crazy Australian Shepherd that keeps me accountable. So we go run all the time and definitely have enjoyed biking in Davis. It's very flat, so I get to do a lot of long, fast rides. So kind of a difference from the hills of San Luis Obispo, but it's all good. And just because it's different doesn't mean it's bad. So enjoying the different training atmosphere here.
Nice. So of the three sports, what did you, were you a swimmer first or runner? What?
Yes.
How'd you get your way in?
I was definitely a swimmer first. I've done swim for probably 19 years and then transitioned into triathlon during high school and then went for it in college.
Nice. Have you found time to train during vet school?
Yeah, I've actually been, I'm a really morning bird type of person. So I wake up at about 5 a.m. every morning and get a good workout in before class. And then if I'm doing doubles that day, I'll train in the afternoon with my dog or go on a bike ride. And the weekends when the academic load's a little lighter, or if we've just had an exam, I'll be able to get an extra long bike ride or a fun run in. So it's been fun. Sometimes I'll listen to our lectures as a review while I'm out there biking or running. So kind of multitasking, but definitely need to do that to keep me sane because I go a little stir crazy if I'm just sitting around the house.
Oh, sure. Do you have any training partners or are you off by yourself?
I'm mostly off by myself here. It's been a little challenging because the vet school doesn't actually have a triathlon team. The undergrad does, but the undergrad scheduling is not the same as the vet school because the undergrads are on a quarter system, whereas the vet school is on a semester system. So their practice times don't really line up. But when I'm in the pool, I get to kind of talk with the other tri-team members or just work with those people and kind of have some training partners sporadically throughout the week.
Nice. How far do you have to go in order to get any swimming in?
It's pretty close. I actually just use the rec pool. So the rec center pool, it's about like 10 minutes away from my house and 2 minutes away from campus. So sometimes I'll go during a lunch break or just come out on a Saturday and use the pool for a while.
Nice. So tell me about your exposure to integrative medicine then. Did you have any before vet school? I know you've got a rehab service there and an integrated medicine club. Talk about that.
Yeah. So in undergrad, of course, Dr. Lilly came and spoke with all of us. So that was awesome. And then we also had the author, Dr. Cheryl Swartz, talk about her book, Four Paws, Five Directions. And she gave a little talk during my second year of undergrad when we were on Zoom. So that was kind of my intro to integrative med. And then in vet school, I definitely wanted to explore more. So I joined the Integrative Medicine Club and have had the opportunity to go out and do some work with Dr. Linda Lopper. We did some equine acupuncture, and I've shadowed Dr. Ko in the rehab center on campus. So that's kind of been my exposure up until this point. But Davis does a really phenomenal job of allowing students to explore that aspect of vet med, and they have an agreement with Chi University where you can actually do an acupuncture certification while in vet school. And then once you graduate and pass the exams, you can be certified.
Or do you think you're going to do that?
I would love to. So I applied for the scholarship application that actually just closed a couple weeks ago. So I should be hearing back pretty soon about that and seeing if I can jump on that this upcoming year before the course load gets a little bit more crazy and then clinics start happening. So definitely want to get a jump start on that soon.
Great. So what was it like to hear Dr. Swartz come and lecture about her book, which is a classic?
Yeah.
Did it just blow your mind? I mean, it was completely probably just foreign to you, right?
Yeah, it was super exciting. I remember getting off that Zoom call and kind of just being blown away by this side of vet med that I had no idea even existed. And I went on Amazon, bought the book, and was able to read through it and thought it was super cool to look at the patient as a whole and not just trying to kind of put a Band-Aid over the symptoms, but really treat the animal and the disease or condition at the source. So that definitely piqued my interest. And then whenever anyone has discussed integrative med, it's always been something that I've kind of been drawn to.
Have you had any work done on yourself?
I have done some laser therapy on myself and also did some TENS treatment and some chiropractic work just with sports, but never had acupuncture done. So definitely want to get some of that going sometime.
Tell me about the lab experience with Dr. Lopper.
Yeah, so we were actually able to go out to her ranch. I believe it was called Happy Horses or something like that. It was about an hour outside of Davis. And we started early on a Saturday morning where she lectured for maybe an hour and a half, 2 hours on the practice of acupuncture. And then we had a nice little break where we got to kind of ask her questions and just chat with her. And then she took us down to see her horses, and we were able to place a couple dry needles and do some acupuncture work, which was pretty fun.
Pretty cool to be able to put a needle in, yeah?
Yeah, it was fun. Definitely didn't know we were going to be able to do that. She worked on body scans and really just kind of solidified some core concepts and was super willing to just teach and show and let us do things. So yeah, that was cool.
Great. So at this point, are you thinking small animal medicine?
Yeah, definitely have enjoyed the large animal work and am not shying away from that, but I do see myself going into small animal practice.
Good. And we're certainly glad to have you as a student member of CIVT.
I love being there. It's super cool to see all the resources and just be able to learn. And it's been fun to share those resources with my classmates and introduce them to different aspects of veterinary medicine, because I think it's super important and a really cool resource for these vet students to have at no cost.
Yeah. I would be remiss if I didn't remind you that the American Holistic Veterinary Medical Association has scholarships for students to attend their annual conference. So that's something you should keep in mind too, because there's another great group of people for you to interact with.
Awesome. Thanks for sharing that. I'll definitely be looking into that.
Well, it's a little bit late for this year. This fall was in San Diego, but next year's in Reno, so it's not too far.
There you go. Something to look forward to.
You bet. Izzy, it's been great to talk to you. Congratulations on everything you've done so far. And I think we'll stay in touch so that we can just follow you along in your journey.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for having me. It's been a true honor to be here, and I'm excited to kind of follow along throughout this journey with you guys.
Great. Izzy, enjoy the rest of your break.
Thanks. You too.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
This podcast is made possible through the generous support of the College of Integrative Veterinary Therapies. CIVT provides world-leading education in natural medicine, including 3 accredited postgraduate qualifications, industry-recognized certifications, and a wide range of evidence-based courses and webinars delivered by qualified and experienced practitioners. By bridging cutting-edge science and tradition, CIVT helps you to expand your treatment options to tackle your most challenging cases. And whether you're a veterinarian, veterinary technician or nurse, animal health professional, or someone who wants to learn more, they have the right course for you. Investigate their offerings at civtedu.org. If you're enjoying this podcast, we'd appreciate if you take the time to tell a friend and to give us a favorable rating on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks again for your support. We'll see you next time.